As a reminder, the information provided in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended to be a substitute for professional advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek advice of your therapist or qualified mental health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or mental health disorder. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast. The hosts, guests, and podcast network are not responsible for any actions or decisions you make based on the information provided. Now, let's dive right in. Hello, friends, and welcome once again to everybody's favorite therapy-themed podcast. This is This Changes Everything. I'm your host, Sarah, and with me today are you guys, our wonderful listeners. Yes, this is a very special listener call-in episode, and today we're going to be diving into some hot topics, some intriguing dilemmas brought to us by you guys. So, what are we talking about? Well, I have a few people who called in with follow-ups to the friendship episode that I did with our good friend Robin Shaw. And so we're going to be diving deeper into that, discussing strategies for handling situations with friends, maybe some do's and don'ts about traveling with friends, talking about how to say thanks but no thanks to friends. We're also going to be talking about anger. We're going to be talking about letting go of anger and how tough that is, but how crucial it is for our own well-being. And then we're going to be talking about I love you. What happens when saying I love you means different things between you and your partner? So we're going to navigate the complexities of love languages and explore how to bridge the gap for deeper connections, as we always do on this show. And yeah, so call in. You know, you guys can always give us a call at 313-338-8828. And don't worry, you don't even have to talk to a real person. You could just leave a voicemail. But you do have to keep in mind that there is a three-minute time limit, oh, that's fun to say, on the voicemail. If it's a big, long story, no worries. You can leave a part one, part two, and, you know, I'll edit it and get out the details and everything. But just wanted to give you a heads up on that so you don't feel like the voicemail is cutting you off if you have a lot to say, which I love all the time. So remember, you can give us a call, 313-338-8828. And yeah, let's get into it. All right. First question. Here we go.
Hi, Sarah. Love the podcast. I'm calling to ask about the I love you phase. My partner and I recently entered it, like yesterday, said it to each other. And I've been feeling those words and that feeling for, you know, a few weeks or several weeks, maybe even. And it feels all nice and good, but I'm also feeling called to ask my partner, like, what that means for them, what their expectations are, and figure out more what it means for me. For some context, I'm a bit older. I'm like 6 years older than my partner, and have a lot more relationship experience. I've been married, and we did couples counseling, and I had a live-in relationship before then. And this is my partner's first, you know, quote-unquote grown-up relationship. And our communication is really good. And I also know that I could very easily just talk to them about this, but I find my spicy brain works better going in with like bullet lists, and I haven't really been able to find any inspirational questions on like to sort of even guide me on what I really mean. I think what I mean is, I've traditionally had non-monogamous relationships of across the spectrum. They're a little more new to that. And again, the conversation on that has been great, but I guess I'm worried that what love means for me doesn't feel as big a deal for me as it seems to for them. So yeah, any guidance you have on that would be super appreciated. Thank you so much. Love you.
Hello, listener. Okay, well, first of all, congratulations on saying I love you, on being in a relationship that sounds like has amazing communication and trust, and that you guys are moving along and taking these next steps and connection and being open and vulnerable and honest. And so we love that. And let's talk about little bit about saying I love you and maybe some of the feelings you're having. You know, I loved when you say, I feel called to ask him about this, what it means for him, what love means for him. And I think those are really important. Those are really important feelings to listen to, you know, being called to ask. It's almost like there's this internal nudge telling you, this is a conversation I need to have. And what an amazing thing. That means that that little moral compass is pointing in the direction of healthy and good communication. So props to you and tip of the hat for, you know, just being in that place and having that awareness and feeling those feelings of wanting to talk about this, because I think for a lot of people, that's a very scary conversation to have. And so they ignore those feelings and they push it down. But you're listening to those feelings and saying, I think this means that I'm being called to ask him about this. So let's give you some of what you called inspirational questions to maybe help guide this conversation. But first, I just want to let you know that it's completely normal to have different expectations and experiences when it comes to expressing love in relationships, especially if you two have different relationship histories. And having these open and honest conversations is so key. And it sounds like you guys really already have a strong foundation in that area. So, okay. Some questions that could maybe help kind of start this conversation. This is, you know, I love, and this is just me, and I think, you know, I give this advice to a lot of my clients, anybody who can get very nervous going into a difficult conversation or can let their emotions get the best of them, go in with bullet points. Like you said, go in with notes. I bring note cards into like big, heavy discussions all the time, and it's so helpful. So maybe we can like jot these down and make a little note about some conversation starters or a few questions that maybe you can consider asking your partner. So first, and like right off the bat, what does saying I love you mean to you? What does that mean? Is it more of a feeling? Does it have to do with actions? You know, for me, when I was at that point in my relationship where we were ready to say I love you, we talked about having those feelings, but we talked about love being more than just feelings and emotions that you have. That love is usually also matched with some actions that you would do for this person that you wouldn't do for somebody else. And, you know, that's kind of how we defined love. But start there. What does saying I love you mean to you? Next, ask, how do you envision our love growing and evolving in the future? What does love mean right now as compared to what it might mean in the future? What does love look like down the road for you? This is a great place to dive into models of love and talk about maybe how love was expressed in your family growing up, the examples of love that you had, how your family showed love to each other, how you knew that your parents loved each other, or, you know, maybe the things that you would have liked to see or maybe didn't see. How do you envision our love growing and evolving in the future? That's question number two. Number three, how about, are there any specific actions or behaviors that make you feel loved and appreciated? Because again, like I said, love is that action. Love is more than just the feelings. And, you know, maybe if it is the feelings for him, what are actions or behaviors that you can do that bring out those feelings? You know, that's something where you can talk about expectations for each other, ways to meet those needs. And the more we discuss these kind of things, the more we talk about specific actions and behaviors. You know, I really like when you include me in plans with your friends for dinner. I don't know, whatever it may be. I really like when you come back from the grocery store with a special little sweet treat for me. That's my personal favorite. Love that one. So there maybe are specific actions or behaviors that your partner does that make you feel loved and appreciated and that you can do for them. So having this discussion can really help each partner get a better idea of how to show up and love that person. Another good question, how do you express love in a relationship? We're talking before about specific actions or behaviors that make you feel loved, your partner feel loved. But how does your partner see themselves expressing love in a relationship? This is maybe where you can talk about public displays of affection. Are you somebody who likes to maybe be holding hands with your partner in public? Do you express love by, I don't know, like, I feel like Eli and I express our love by sharing food together when we, like, I don't know, maybe I'm hungry right now. I'm talking a lot about food. But when we go to restaurants, you know, love is maybe shared meals together. Do you express love through actions? You know, this is where we can have a great discussion on love languages. You know, there's our wonderful tests online where you can answer a few simple questions and discover your primary love language, what it means, and then how you can use that information to better connect with your loved ones. You can check that out on 5lovelanguages.com. They have that. I'm pretty sure it's a free quiz. Yeah, free quiz. And those results are really helpful. They show how we express love, the ways that we receive love, and understanding these things. You know, I used the analogy before that we don't want somebody showing up at our front door with a basket of apples and we're like, where are my mangoes? You know, like, thanks so much for this thing, but I wanted something else. So sometimes in relationships, partners can be doing acts of love and showing up in a way that maybe we're not recognizing. You know, they're showing up by acts of service. You know, maybe they're making dinner and unloading the dishwasher and taking out the trash, but you want words of affirmation and you want hugs and kisses. And so, you know, his showing up at the front door with apples is, you know, doing the dishes and doing all those acts of service. And you're like, where are my mangoes? Which is all the other stuff. So I like to keep that in mind and remember that the ways that we show and receive love may be very different from our partner, but understanding those will help us be able to better recognize when they are doing those acts of love or showing us that they love us. And then last but not least, my fifth question for you on the list is, are there any specific concerns or fears that you have about love or relationships? You know, talking about all of the good stuff is so wonderful and talking about the things that they can do is so great. But also let's talk about the things that scare you, the things that make you worried in a relationship, that the signs that might make you feel like there isn't love there, or things that would make you question that, or fears that you have about being in love and being in a relationship in general. So these are all really important conversations to have when we're in a healthy relationship. And the purpose of this conversation isn't to compare or to judge each other's feelings or to say one person's version of love is better than another person's. It's really just to gain deeper insight into understanding, you know, each other's perspectives and expectations. And so it's so important, like we always talk about on here, to approach this conversation with so much empathy. And I always like to come from a place of curiosity, like rather than looking for an answer, you're, you know, learning more. You're coming from a place of like, I want to know more about this. Tell me more. So allow that space for your partner to share their thoughts and share your feelings. And, you know, last but not least, don't worry too much about the difference in how big saying I love you feels to each of you guys. You know, love is such a deeply personal thing. I know in my relationship, it was so hard for me to say, but I tried to show my partner through my actions, and saying I love you meant something way more serious for me. And I was too scared to do that, had a lot of walls up. So it took me a little while, and it was a big deal to me, where my partner was just like, I feel these feelings. Let's just say it. No worries, no problem. So what matters is not that difference. What matters is that you share that love and connection with each other, and that you guys continue to nurture that and grow that love together. So, you know, I want to congratulate you on thinking about the importance of this conversation and reaching out and calling. I think that is a question, you know, or this topic is something that a lot of people can benefit from hearing more about. So I really hope that this guidance helps you. And I just wish you the best in your conversation with your partner. And just, you know, keep being curious about each other, keep exploring. And I'm sending you lots of love. All right. Thank you so much. And speaking of love, I'll tell you something I'm absolutely in love with, and I'm not afraid to say it. It's Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest is my go-to when I want something that's healthy, something that's organic, something that gives me all the nutrition and healthy food that I need, but with very easy, almost no prep work. I'm talking like it takes 2 minutes and you got an amazing meal. Daily Harvest really takes the guesswork and effort out of cooking because they deliver delicious smoothies and other options that are built on organic fruits and vegetables straight to my door so I can get yummy smoothies and meals that are ready in literally minutes without the trouble of shopping, prepping, or even cleaning up. So take the guessing out of eating well and try Daily Harvest. For a limited time only, go to dailyharvest.com/TCE and get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/TCE for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/TCE. All right, now for our next question.
Hi, I'm a female in my 30s. I am currently engaged and super happy with my partner. But one of the big issues we've had in our relationship has to do with a female friend of his. Great person, really enjoyed meeting this friend. But when I originally had to ask how, after meeting this person, my fiance knew this individual, he only then told me that they had met on the dating apps. And after an 11-month period of getting to know this person, found out that they had also slept together. I was a bit jarred to find out that this individual had slept with my boyfriend, as at the time the way they had described their relationship was very platonic. But I was never really lied to, but I was kind of just, I felt like my partner evaded the conversation when I tried to go deeper about how they knew each other. And so I just kind of wanted to know your opinion on whether or not, if a partner is going to introduce a friend to you and also have that person around quite frequently, is it their responsibility to disclose any sexual history with the person? I feel like it is that person's responsibility, and I felt very deceived. But my partner said that he felt that, like, that information was private, and unless I directly asked, he would have never shared it with me. What's your thoughts? Should a partner share this information, and should they be expected to?
Oh, man. Let me tell you, I have been in this exact same situation. So I know how you feel, and I'm going to give you Sarah response and the therapist response, which I think is, the Sarah response is probably pretty similar to the therapist response too. But I totally get you, because I know when I was in this situation, it felt like a betrayal, even though no direct lying had occurred. And I, you know, I always remember the expression, it's not the crime, it's the cover up. You know, it's often not the act or the thing that they do, but the ways and the means that they go about covering it up or hiding it that can seem suspicious or hurtful. And in a relationship, it's all about open and honest communication, right? So that is why this can feel like a betrayal. And I totally understand and get you on this one. So let's talk a little bit about these feelings you're having and how to address these with your partner. So just to summarize, here we have a situation where your partner failed to disclose a past romantic relationship, or at least past romantic involvement with this close friend. And the concern is not necessarily about the past relationship itself, but rather about the lack of transparency and openness and the lack of openness and communication. So yeah, like, it makes sense that you'd feel like this is a deception, even though you're not being directly lied to, when it feels like your partner maybe is evading the conversation, especially when you attempt to explore it deeper. And your partner, on the other hand, your fiance, believes that this information is in the past and was private and shouldn't be shared unless, you know, directly asked. So what this does, what this interaction really, what's at the bottom of this, we should say, is communication. Communication, trust, and boundaries within that relationship, and maybe what each of you guys, each partner, believes is the amount of information that should or shouldn't be disclosed within a relationship. And this is something that's individual and personal. I've been in relationships before where my partner did not want me ever talking about any exes. And that was like a firm boundary. And they were very clear about how that made them feel. And then it was on me as the partner to respect that boundary and understand what the consequences of not respecting that boundary would be, such as having a partner with hurt feelings. And this is why having these conversations about expectations and boundaries is so important, because what may be considered acceptable or unacceptable can vary so much from person to person. And so it's so important for partners to have open and honest conversations about their comfort level when it comes to sharing past experiences. You know, in the situation I was in, we were pretty new into our relationship and we hadn't yet had a conversation about boundaries around this topic. We hadn't had a conversation about really where the line was. And often that's a conversation that doesn't happen as early as it should in relationships, and usually only happens after a situation like this occurs, where one person's expectations haven't been met or a boundary has been crossed, but the boundary hasn't even been communicated or the expectation hasn't been vocalized or verbalized to begin with. So it can catch the other partner off guard. And that sounds like what's happening here with your partner and was also what happened with my partner. So since you are the listener and the caller and we don't have your partner here, let's talk about what you can do in this situation. You know, we recognize, like as I discussed, this is something that does feel like betrayal, but we are in charge of our reactions and we are in charge of the meaning that we make from this action. And often past relationships or traumas or past hurts can impact how we view these actions, like what you're dealing with, and the meaning that we can make from it. You know, we put a label of, oh, this person is a liar, this person is a cheater, or this person is, going to keep things from me, or whatever it may be. We create this meaning from this action. And rather than going in and assigning meaning to it, we want to step back and talk about how it makes you feel. You know, what you can do is you can create an environment where it feels really safe and comfortable to talk about your feelings, to talk about how these actions make you feel. And so your partner can better understand the ways that his actions impact your emotions and your feelings. And we also want to create an environment within the relationship where your partner feels safe saying things like, oh, you know, this is a person I have history with. Because let's face it, you know, online dating is a thing. You know, people are going to have pasts. They're going to have, people that they've been with. And you know, the older you get, the more of those you have. So sometimes mature relationships come with people with past and people with relationship history. And we can't control where anybody's been, but we can control the safe environment in which they feel okay talking about that past and being comfortable with it and recognizing that maybe the past doesn't have as much of an impact on the present relationship. You know, when I have, when I hear stories about that or hear about people that my partner dated or you know, hooked up with, whatever it may be, I always like to remind myself they're not dating now. So there was something somebody did that, you know, the other person didn't like, and it's, they're not together now. And what is my partner showing me today that shows me that they are committed and, you know, with me. And so that is what we can do on our side. You know, we can create that safe environment. We can reassure our partners that this is information that we want to hear, that you are somebody who, you know, recognizes the need for privacy, but also realizes that there is a real importance and a value to disclosing certain details, especially when they might impact the dynamic of the current relationship. And, you know, sharing a past and talking about these tough things are really what help bring us closer together and build trust and foster a deeper connection. So as difficult as it may be, I encourage you to continue this conversation with your partner and really emphasize the feelings that you experienced and how that impacted you, how finding that information out later felt to you. And you can use our good old-fashioned handy-dandy feelings Mad Libs, which is, or communication Mad Libs. I feel blank when you do blank, and what I need is blank. So it may look like, you know, I feel really hurt and I feel really disrespected when I find out after the fact, after meeting somebody, that you had a previous relationship with them. And, you know, what I really need moving forward in the future is more open communication about that. You know, you have a past and you are able to be friends with people. And I trust that this is a committed relationship where you are choosing me and you are choosing this relationship. But I need insight and I need information when maybe you have a past relationship with somebody. And when you come from that place and you're talking about the feelings and not just like pointing the finger, we tend to get better communication back. And you can start to establish your boundaries around this. There are some good books that I think would be helpful. You know, there's a book called, I believe it's called Not Just Friends. And this is a book that, you know, normally I would recommend if this was a situation where infidelity took place. But I think it's a really helpful book to recognize red flags, to encourage these kind of conversations, help get these conversations going. The other one that's a great one is Esther Perel's Mating in Captivity. That talks a lot about intimacy, communication, infidelity, things like that. So I think both of those books would be really helpful for you to just create a language or dialogue around this so that you guys can have a more open communication, you know, about this and about your expectations in the relationship. So I wish you the best of luck. I mean, like I said, I have been there and, you know, just take a big deep breath and try to approach the conversation using those feeling words without, you know, maybe pointing the finger of blame, to really help create an environment where those conversations can take place or where both partners feel safe to discuss things like relationship history. So I hope this was helpful. Again, I wish you the best of luck and thank you so much for calling and for listening. Well, before we get into our next question, let's take a break to talk about something that I cannot live without. Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. And if you're like me, you are ready for warmer, sunnier days. But is your skin? See, your skin goes through this big transition between seasons, not just the surface, but at the cellular level. And that's why it's important to nurture it from the inside out with products that are more than just, you know, regular UV protection. And that is where OneSkin comes in. OneSkin's products are powered by their scientifically proven peptide. This peptide reduces the accumulation of damage and age cells, the cells that make your skin, you know, less resilient and more prone to lines and wrinkles. And OneSkin addresses them, like I said, at that cellular level, boosting your skin's natural barrier to lock in moisture and protect against the elements. I have been trying to simplify, so I love that they have products for face and body, but not like a million things you have to use. They've like simplified it. It's great. I love it. So for a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products. Just go to oneskin.co. And OneSkin is the first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. So get started today with that 15% off using code TCE at oneskin.co. That's 15% off at oneskin.co with code TCE. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them that we sent you. So help your skin stay younger, healthier for longer with OneSkin. All right. Next question. Here we go.
Hi, this is Judy. I'm calling from Germany. I love your podcast and listen every week. And I have kind of two questions regarding recovering from trauma. So I've been really working on that, but struggling with anger, finding healthy ways to release anger from kind of so many bad experiences that I kind of have internalized. So maybe you have some ideas on how to manage that, and also how to handle regret, like decisions I've made in the past based on being traumatized and how to let go of regretting those. Yeah, I would appreciate that a lot. Thank you so much and have a good day.
Hi, Judy from Germany. Thank you so much for reaching out. I'm always so grateful to hear from listeners from all over the globe. It's always so heartening to connect with the global audience and know that we're reaching people around the world. It's amazing. So let's dive into your important question about recovering from trauma, dealing with anger, and managing regret. So first, I just want to say kudos to you for actively working on your healing journey. You know, it takes so much strength and courage to confront and overcome the impact of trauma. I mean, even just to recognize that you're somebody who's dealing with these feelings takes a lot. And so I really want to, you know, give you a pat on the back and give you a lot of credit for the awareness that you have and the work that you want to do on moving through this. So let's explore some ideas on how to manage anger and how to kind of process those feelings. But before we even do that, I think it's so important to really recognize the purpose of anger, because it can be this feeling that we just don't like and we can be really dismissive of or say like, ugh, I just don't want to feel it. Why do I feel angry? Ugh, I just want to stop feeling this feeling. But listening to that emotion, like any other emotion, really serves a purpose and can be such a powerful indicator of our internal state and our needs. And so understanding and processing anger is really crucial for emotional well-being and for personal growth. You know, anger is such a natural human emotion, and it comes up when we feel anger as a response to threats, to injustices, to frustrations. It can be a signal that our boundaries have been crossed, or that maybe our values have been challenged, or it can signify that we have an unmet need. And so this anger serves as such an important emotional response that encourages us to take action or to make changes. So we want to recognize that anger, like any other emotion, is so valid. And if we suppress it, you know, like say, oh, I don't like this, I want to get rid of this feeling, or I'm going to ignore this feeling, it always leads to negative consequences emotionally or physically. You know, repressed anger can manifest as resentment and frustration. You could even get physical symptoms like headaches or digestive issues. So we want to listen to this anger. We want to feel it, and we want to give ourselves ways to work through it. So, you know, finding like constructive ways too, you know, like there's not constructive ways to express anger, you know, like violently or by yelling at people. And then there are constructive ways to communicate it and express it. And those can be so, so, so helpful. So let's talk a little bit about some of those constructive ways that can help process anger. First and foremost, you know, the easy one is the therapeutic approaches. So things like talking to a therapist or, you know, going to a counselor. You know, I think CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy, are really great, is a really great like style of therapy that can really be helpful, because it works to look at your thoughts and your cognitions and how those thoughts and behaviors you know, create feelings, what thoughts create feelings, and those feelings create action. And so looking at how to interrupt those negative thought cycles and maybe challenge some of the thoughts that may be, you know, from past traumas that are contributing to the anger that you're feeling. And this can be really helpful in addressing and managing anger. The other thing I'm thinking is mindfulness and meditation, you know, incorporating some mindfulness practices into your routine can really help you feel safe. You know, we talked before about what anger is and how anger comes up when we feel threatened or when we feel unsafe. So the way we counter that is by feeling safe. And one of the best ways to feel safe is to feel really present, really grounded and mindful and in the moment. And it allows you to just respond to that anger in a more like measured and controlled way. So if you haven't checked out any mindfulness apps, those are really helpful. There's also a free resource through the UCLA Mindfulness Center. And I believe you could just Google UCLA Marc, M-A-R-C. That's their mindfulness and I don't know, mindfulness and something center. But they even have an app, the UCLA Marc app, and the app has free guided meditations. And there is, I believe there is a meditation on anger on there and on working through anger. And so yeah, check that out. I really think mindfulness will be a great practice to help you just feel more in control of those emotions. And the other suggestion I have for you is physical release. I love this one so much. You know, there are a few different ways that you could do this. Engaging in any kind of physical activity, like any sort of exercise, yoga, something even that's gentle, or something that's, you know, kind of like pushes you to the limit. Sometimes when I'm really angry or frustrated, getting all that out in a workout and kind of pushing myself through those feelings and channeling that into, I don't know, a healthy outlet to release like that pent up energy and tension that may be associated with anger, is associated with anger really, can be like so helpful and can really make you feel like that cortisol release that we need. So any kind of physical activity that you can do. The other thing that I think also falls under physical release that I give to clients, and kids absolutely love when I give this to them, but screaming. I'm not kidding. When you're angry, scream. Like take that pillow and scream into it. Go into like, if you're like, I don't know, you have to do this in places that are safe. I always say this to the kids too. Like, don't be like screaming at the top of your apartment building and then scaring all the neighbors or something. But you know, in a healthy environment where it's okay to do, scream, let those feelings out. You know, that is almost like very primal to do. And that like primal scream can release a lot of those feelings and can really help, you know, process that anger. So yeah, therapeutic approaches, mindfulness and physical releases. And then, you know, in addition to that, I really want you to practice some self-compassion, you know. This is especially when it comes to what you'd said about those feelings of regret. You know, I tell all my clients, see, this is a topic that comes up in with almost everybody I work with, that we can be very critical of the decisions that we made in the past, but those were decisions that you made with the coping skills that you had at the time. And so you can't be judgmental on, you can't judge past actions where you maybe had fewer skills or less information or less awareness. And it's really important to be kind to yourself as you think about the past. And instead of dwelling on that regret, you know, use those experiences as opportunities for self-reflection and growth. You know, what lessons can be learned from those decisions? You know, how can those decisions you made or the things and actions of the past inform present or future choices? You know, let that be a learning opportunity rather than dwelling on what happened in the past. You know, I say also to clients that depression is when our mind is living in the past, and anxiety is when our mind is too caught up with the future. So how we counter both of those things is, again, by really staying present and focusing on how you feel safe and secure in the moment that you're in. So yeah, I hope those are helpful tools. You know, always seek support. I think that is always helpful when you're dealing with feelings like anger or feelings from the past. You know, talk to a trusted friend or family member. And again, a therapist can be really helpful in this time. But I just want you to be gentle with yourself and really remember that healing and letting go of trauma is a process and is a journey, and it is okay to seek help along the way. I'm so glad that you reached out to us and that you left a voicemail and called, because that is exactly what we're here for, to help you feel okay with these big, intense feelings that are so universal. And so I just thank you for that thoughtful question. And I hope that this answer can provide you with some guidance on that path to healing. And Yeah, thank you again so much for calling from Germany. And I know we were just talking about anger, so I will talk about something that makes me super angry, and that is getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers. So when I heard that Mint Mobile wireless plans were only $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. No catch at all. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly onto you. I mean, who does not like saving money? And just $15 a month? Yeah, say bye-bye to that overpriced wireless plan, jaw-dropping monthly bill, and unexpected overages. And guess what? You don't even have to lose your number. You can use your own phone and you can use your own number on any Mint Mobile plan, and you can even bring all of your existing contacts. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/TCE. That's mintmobile.com/TCE. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/TCE. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customer on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabyte on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. All right, back to our questions. What's next? Here we go.
Hi, Sarah. I just listened to your episode on Friendship with Robin, and I had a follow-up question. I'm sure I'm not the only one who has gone through this, and social media doesn't help because often we only see our friend's success and not their lows. What do you do when you have a friend who does react with jealousy or negativity when you express good news? Kind of like, oh, I'm happy for you, but I'm upset, sort of thing. I've had that happen to me. And it's, you know, with some things that can be life-changing, like, you know, move across country or getting a boyfriend or girlfriend, you know, a partner, and so they're like, oh, well, you're not going to spend time with me as much, you know, things like that. On the other side, what is your advice for being in the position that everything looks like it's going wrong for you, but you're seeing everything going right for your friends? And how do you deal with that to not be that person in the first half for this question? Thank you so much for your time, and have a great day.
Okay, I love this question because it really addressed kind of both feelings on either side of this. So yeah, navigating friends' reactions to your good news and handling the feeling of everything going wrong for you while it seems like things are going well for others can really be challenging. So let's explore both sides of your question, starting with dealing with friends' jealousy and negativity. So, you know, I want you to know that it is not uncommon for friends to experience a whole bunch of mixed emotions when significant life changes occur. You know, the life changes that happen with other people make us think about where we are in our own life. And for some people, that is easier, and for some people, that's more challenging. So if you find that a friend reacts with jealousy or with negativity when you share good news, it's important to approach that situation with empathy and understanding that this is more of a reflection of a feeling of insecurity or inadequacy or loss on their end than a feeling of anger or something that you're doing wrong, or, you know, an anger towards you, or jealousy towards you. You know, like I said, it's more has to do with their feelings about themselves. So we want to, again, start with that open communication and have that honest conversation with your friend. These are hard topics to discuss, but these are the kind of conversations and topics that really help bring friendships closer, make people, make a friendship stronger, increase the trust and vulnerability, because it takes both of those things to have these conversations. So when you're having these conversations with friends, express that joy, express how excited you are. And maybe also we can acknowledge a friend's feelings and understand that they may be in a different place in their life. And, you know, share that you value that friendship and you want to understand their perspective better if they do have a negative reaction. You know, understanding why they have that feeling and, you know, being able to talk about that. You know, I see that me sharing this information seems to have, like, I don't know, upset you, or it feels like maybe you're not receiving this in the best way, or this is information that, I don't know, kind of hurts you. Is there something going on, or, you know, how do you feel about what I just said? Because, like, I want to be able to share my joy with you, and I really love the friendship that we have, but, you know, I also understand that this may mean some changes to our friendship. You know, there I'm talking about it in a way that's open and honest, but also taking into consideration how this information may feel for my friend who's receiving it. You know, this is kind of like a little bit different, but in my current situation, I, you know, recently had surgery and I am not able to do a lot of the physical things that I used to be able to do. I was really excited about skiing this season, but now won't be doing any of that. So my partner, still on his ski pass, still skiing all the time. And I told him that, you know, and I had that reaction. I had a negative, you know, my partner's sharing good news. He'll come back and he'll be excited about his ski day. And I'm like a jerk about it. Like, he's sharing good news with me and I'm like, ugh, I don't like hearing any of that. So I shared with him how hearing that made me feel. And I created a conversation where he had a better understanding of the disappointment that I felt. And, you know, again, this is kind of like the other person's side of it. And you hope that you have a friend who's going to do this. But what I wanted from my partner who had the good news to share was for him to be a little more understanding of how that information may feel to me as somebody who doesn't get to partake in that. And once I explained that to him, he was much better at, you know, not being so gloaty after a good powder day. So I know it's a little bit different, but I still felt like I had to share that story. So you know, in that same kind of story that I shared, one of the things I did is set boundaries. And so we want to encourage this supportive and positive atmosphere where friends can set boundaries and where you can discuss ways to celebrate each other's successes without maybe diminishing the joy. So keep in mind that jealousy often stems from personal insecurities. And a lot of this is, you know, is the responsibility of the receiver to kind of manage those feelings. But there are things you can do with how you deliver the information that can kind of take into consideration maybe, you know, those friends' insecurities. So I hope that helps with part one. And part two, coping with everything kind of feeling like it's going wrong for you, that also is not an uncommon feeling, you know, especially like you said, with social media, where we get this, you know, very limited view of only the good and none of the bad. We don't have people focusing on the lows on there. So it's so easy to do this social comparison and feel like, man, so much is going well for everybody else. What's wrong with me? Or something must be the matter. But this is, again, a time where we got to practice that self-compassion. You know, be so kind to yourself during these tough times and understand that everyone faces challenges. We do not broadcast these. We do not talk about these. But I know that there are all the celebrities that you see out there who you're like, wow, they have the most amazing life. They're going to therapists. They're talking about their problems. They got a whole bunch of the same similar problems. They feel jealousy. They feel those feelings of worthlessness. They feel hopelessness. Nobody is excluded from the ups and downs of being a person and the feelings of being like feeling like you're not enough. So I really want you to just understand that everybody faces these challenges, and it's really okay to acknowledge and validate your own struggles with these. Because, man, like I all the time say it's hard being a person, and we can just like have not every day. Once my mom told me that not every year is going to be your best year. And when I accepted that, I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe this just isn't the best year. And that's okay, because it means there are probably going to be good ones later. And maybe I can, you know, look forward to things being different in the future. It is just a storm we have to weather, and nothing is forever and nothing is permanent. And the more we focus on our wins, the
less obvious the losses become, you know, and that is way easier said than done. So, you know, this is a time where it's so important to reach out to friends or loved ones, you know, talk to people who know you and love you and can remind you of your values. And, you know, they can also help, you know, commiserate and, you know, the more vulnerable you are in sharing struggles and hardships you're going through, the more we open the door for other people to feel open in sharing theirs. And then we can be like, oh my gosh, me too. And isn't it so hard being a person, like Sarah always says, because it is. You know, the other things that we can do when we're coping or dealing with everything kind of feeling like it's going wrong is, you know, like I said a little bit earlier, is focus on gratitude. You know, I talked about kind of like focusing on the good, you know, shift that perspective. The more that you can identify the positive things in your life, the more you will create a positive mindset. And it sounds so simple and so, I don't know, cheesy, I guess, but it's really not. It's like we just have to practice gratitude. You know, I did this project when I was in grad school. Our professor was so like adamant that we put in the energy in practicing gratitude to see how beneficial it was. So we all did these gratitude journals that we had to turn in weekly, where we had to write down three things that we were grateful for every day. And then we measured our overall well-being so we could see how that changed over the course of 16 weeks. And wouldn't you know it, after 6 weeks of practicing gratitude, it significantly changed my overall well-being, how I viewed situations. It made me more positive. So it is such a simple thing that we can do, but can be so impactful. Practice that gratitude. Get your little notes app out or text yourself like three things when you wake up in the morning that you're grateful for each day. You know, having something like that to again, shift that perspective is so beneficial and so awesome. It's like the easiest thing we can do and that so few of us actually practice and do, but I have seen the positive effects of this myself, and I really encourage everybody to try that. And, you know, last but not least, set realistic expectations for yourself. You know, everybody's journey is unique. And like I said before, nobody is excluded from the trials and tribulations of life. And comparing yourself to, or your struggles to other people's successes is not really a fair or accurate reflection of reality. So instead of focusing on others and having that attention outward, turn that attention inward, focus on your own growth, your own process. You know, we don't want to compare ourselves to other people, but compare yourself to who you were yesterday. I bet you're a better version of yourself today. You know more, you've learned more, you have more awareness, because we all do as we grow and as we, you know, learn more. So keep in mind your own growth and focus on, like I said, your own growth and your own progress. And you know, I thank you so much for your vulnerability. I really want you to, you know, going back to the friendship, remember that, you know, friendships evolve, and all these challenges that you're facing are such a natural and normal part of friendships and of life. And so I really just encourage, like always, that open communication, empathy, and self-compassion, because those are really going to be your three keys to navigating these, you know, complex emotions. And, you know, we always love your calls, and thank you so much for being a listener. Well, I'll tell you something I'm super grateful for, and that's wine. But there is one part of the buying process that I don't love, and that's walking into, I don't know, those big box retailers and having no idea what to get. Everything is just like the same boring brands we've seen over and over. And that's why I love our next sponsor, Naked Wines. You know, you guys already know that I love a glass of wine, but did you know that when we buy wine today, most of your money goes to things like fancy packaging, big budget marketing campaigns, and tax? And that is crazy. And plus, even after all that, you don't even know if the wine that you get you're even going to like until after you've already bought it. So luckily, I have Naked Wines, and Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet, so you get a box of the market's best quality wines but for like a fraction of the price. And I mean a fraction of the price that you normally pay in stores. So head on over to nakedwines.com/TCE and click enter voucher at the top right when you get to the website and put in TCE for both the code and the password to unlock 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. Can you believe that? That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/TCE. Use the code and password TCE and grab those 6 bottles for just $39.99. One last time, that's nakedwines.com/TCE, code and password TCE for $100 off your first 6 bottles. All right, back to our show. Let's see what our next listener question is. Here we go.
Hey guys, I was wondering if you could give me any advice on how to tell a friend that you don't want to travel with them or you don't think they travel well, that we travel well together. Me and my best friend have been friends. We were 12. We are now in our 30s. And in the past, when we have traveled together, I wind up doing the heavy lifting between like planning the flights and buying the tickets and doing the this and making sure she's on time and how long it takes at the airport and blah, 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 blah. And I don't get to enjoy myself as much. And when I take vacations, I want to enjoy myself and be able to decompress too and go with someone that can like carry their own weight essentially. Even if she gets like flights to come visit me because we live in different states. She has to consult me and we have to talk on the phone for it for like an hour and a half every time. And it drives me freaking nuts. She's a fully capable human being and such. But in the past, I'd even planned whole trips, had the Airbnbs, had the flights for both of us, had activities planned, and she bailed last minute because of like getting her animals washed, which I understand, but her living circumstances allow for that quite easily. So, since then, I have been unwilling to kind of plan things. Have been like, why don't you look things up and why don't you do this? And have kind of luckily gotten away and avoided it. But I know the day will come where I need to face it head on and would love any advice or tools you can give me to have in my back pocket when that happens. Thank you so much. Love your show.
Okay, good question. How do we gently let a friend down and tell him that their travel plans and how they are and maybe their travel style or the amount of pressure they put on you to handle everything isn't going to work for you. Yeah, that is a difficult conversation to have, but such an important one, especially because like travel time is very valuable. You know, like if you're like everybody living in the United States, you might not have a lot of free vacation days. And so it makes a lot of sense that you would want to make the most of them. And, you know, you want a travel experience that really aligns with your preferences and allows you to decompress and enjoy your time away. And I can imagine that a vacation where you're doing all of the heavy lifting and, you know, managing so much doesn't really feel like a vacation for you. So, you know, I totally get you and your feelings are entirely valid and you are well within your right to communicate this boundary and set this boundary and have the vacation that you want. But I do understand that approaching a friend about these feelings is never easy. And your hesitations are very understandable. So let's talk about how you can prioritize your well-being and set some boundaries that, you know, allow you to maintain a healthy balance in your friendship, maybe not the one doing all the work. So like any difficult conversation, choose the right setting. You know, find a time where you guys can have, you know, some face-to-face time. I think doing these things, even if it has to be, I know you guys live in different states, but even if it has to be over Zoom, like doing this where you can, you know, see each other will, I think, really help this conversation. You don't want to bring this stuff up like in the midst of planning a trip or during like a potentially really emotional moment. You know, finding a time that you guys can really connect and address this in a very gentle and understanding way, I think will really help the success of this conversation. So, you know, like I said, we want to be honest and direct and, you know, share those feelings and your concerns without being accusatory. We want to go with those I statements, you know, I feel very taken advantage of when we go on vacation, because I feel like a lot of the planning and a lot of the, you know, responsibility of setting up the trip falls on my shoulders. And that makes me feel blah, blah, blah. We kind of have to like identify maybe some of the ways that that makes you feel, and then communicate that using those I statements. And even before that, you know, I should mention, like, I always like to set up the conversation so that the person listening understands what kind of conversation you're going to have. So saying like, you know, I really want to have an open and honest conversation with you about how things go when we travel. You know, I end up doing a lot of the heavy lifting, like planning flights and buying tickets and making sure everything is running smoothly. And, you know, it's really impacted my ability to fully enjoy these trips. And, you know, I think that we can find a way to make our travel experiences maybe enjoyable for the both of us. You know, if in the future you do want to compromise, you can introduce the idea of a compromise to her. You know, the only way we can really do that is if you first communicate how the dynamic or how things as they are affecting you, so that your I almost said partner, but sometimes it feels like a partnership when we're with a friend, but so your friend can understand how their actions and behaviors are really affecting you. Because when a person understands, you know, how their actions make somebody else feel, it really it motivates people more to change those actions or to address those behaviors, because we don't want our friends feeling bad, right? And I think at the end of the day, she probably wants you to be able to enjoy your vacation experience, right? And maybe there's a part of her that finds like closeness and connection through, I don't know, calling you and asking for your help. Maybe that's a way that she feels, or maybe that's like a dynamic and part of the nature of your friendship. If she's somebody who's always like gone to you for advice, or, you know, trusted your judgment or your input, maybe she sees this as a way to maintain like a closeness and part of the friendship. And, you know, maybe discussing that and understanding what, where she comes from and maybe why she defaults to you would help you better understand, you know, where you guys are and the friendship as it is. And, you know, I think I kind of got ahead of myself, because I think the first thing before anything else is knowing what you want to get out of this. You know, is this a situation where you're telling her, hey, you know, I just want to do my own thing and travel on my own, then talk about that. Or is this a situation where you do want to come up with a compromise, or you want to find a way to create more of a balance with the planning in the future? I think knowing what you want out of this friend and out of the situation is really going to help have this conversation and guide this conversation. So yeah, clearly just outline what you're comfortable with and what your expectations are for future trips, whether that be, you know, her sharing in the responsibilities, doing some research, or maybe, you know, you going solo and you maybe having a trip that doesn't include her, and maybe you just mix it up. Maybe you try it out this year. If you guys are people who have always traveled together, maybe you just say, hey, you know, I want to have a trip for myself this time. And, you know, I know we always go on vacations together, but I'm thinking of maybe doing something for myself. You know, how do you feel about that? And a good friend would be supportive of that. And, you know, give her the opportunity, like I said, to kind of share her perspective. And, you know, maybe it could help give some, you know, insight into some aspects of the situation that you might not be aware of. So yeah, it's just important to have this open and honest dialogue. And, you know, reassure your friend too. You know, make sure that it's clear that your desire for a different travel dynamic doesn't change your friendship. You know, reassure her that you value your relationship and you want to find a solution that works for both of you, where you get to enjoy your vacation and you get to, you know, really relax and decompress, and, you know, you feel like the responsibility is a little more managed, whether that means giving her more responsibility or you taking the trip solo. So again, remember that communication is key, and addressing this issue early, like before we're in the planning stages of, you know, that trip can really help prevent frustration or resentment from building up. So I hope that this answered your question, and I wish you the best of luck and the most enjoyable vacation because you deserve it. And yeah, I hope that this conversation brings you guys closer as friends, and again, that you get that vacation you deserve. All right. Thank you so much for listening and for your call. Well, there you have it. What good questions from all you listeners this week. You know, I love hearing questions about friendships and relationships and even some personal stuff. You know, I think that question on managing anger, I loved that, you know, something that's so universal and we all experience. And, you know, I again want to thank all of you guys for listening, for being such a important part of this little therapy, online therapy community or podcast therapy community. It, you know, it just reminds us that we are not alone in all of this. We are all just people trying to navigate this complicated world and make the most in our relationships or out of our relationships and friendships. And, you know, you guys are not alone. You have this podcast and you have so many people listening who are going through similar things. And I hope that you guys can connect online and, you know, in the comments, like if you guys are not following This Changes Everything on Instagram, we post online content or online, not online, we post video versions of interviews and, you know, clips from the show. And it's a great place to connect with other listeners and talk about these feelings more in depth in the comments. Everybody is always so supportive on there. I love it. And anybody who's not, I get rid of them real quick. So you can rest assured that the This Changes Everything online community is supportive and, you know, nurturing and a wonderful place where you can share your feelings and be vulnerable, because you know, that's what we're trying to do over here. So if you have a question for us, you can always give us a call at 313-338-8828. Again, I encourage you guys to leave a review. I read all of them and love when you guys share how this podcast has helped you. You know, I hear that it is like from one of our listeners this week that it's helped from helping people all over the world. So thank you for those reviews and thank you for supporting the show. I love you guys so much and we'll see you next time on This Changes Everything. Bye.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.